You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
But thank you guys for pivoting. Thank you, tech team, for pivoting as well. If you're new to Makers, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. My name's Derek, and I serve here as our lead pastor. And we're just so excited to kick off a new year together. I don't want to over-spiritualize things, but I do want to kind of point to, I love that some of our plans have already been undone. Because we are trying to start our year off with some simplicity as we lean into the spiritual practice of Sabbath. But before we get into all of that, we are really also excited because we've got the whole band back together on our pastoral team. Pastor Mark is back from his sabbatical. And Lauren and Mark, we missed you guys so, so much while you were gone. If you're new with us, over the last year in 2023, our pastoral team, each one of us, myself, Pastor Shalice, Pastor Mark, each took a three-month sabbatical, and it was an amazing experience and a huge gift for each one of us. And we did this because we realized along the way that we had no bearing at all on what it meant to be obedient to Christ when it comes to rhythms of rest. And it had been 13 years since we started the church together, and we work co-vocationally, meaning we have real jobs outside of pastoring here at the church, and we were just going full steam ahead, and we decided, you know what, maybe we should practice this thing called rest. And so we're deeply grateful that our board, our elders, our staff, you as the congregation really supported our taking that rest. It was a humongous gift to each one of us, and we're just so, so grateful for that. Like I said, if you don't know what a sabbatical is, it's an ancient practice in the church where every 7 years you would let the ground lie fallow. You would stop and rest for a moment. It's become kind of popular in other fields like academics and medicine, but it was literally non-existent in the life of our church. And you know, I think in the last several years we've been kind of coming aware of. The idea that there's some areas in our faith tradition that we inherited that need to be investigated, that need to be looked at, that need to be taken maybe a little bit more seriously. And, you know, because it was such a foreign idea for us, when we decided to take sabbaticals and we started talking about it, many of you were really concerned. You're like, why now? What is something wrong? Are you exhausted? Are you tired? Are you going to go off the rails? Are you going to have a mental breakdown? Are you, you know, close to quitting? What's going on? Is something bad happening? And I think I can speak for all of us. The real answer was no. I love what I get to do as a pastor. I work full time as a firefighter, and I honestly feel like it's a pace that I could sustain. It's a way that I'm wired. I'm an activator. I'm an Enneagram 7. I have lots of energy. I love people. I love being busy. I love all of these things. And so it wasn't like I was at risk of burning out. Maybe I'm naive, but I do feel like, yeah, this is a pace that I'm wired for. And so our sabbaticals really weren't just about trying to prevent burnout. We hope that that did happen, that maybe we curbed something before it happened. But really it came down to this idea around obedience. And, you know, in my personal journey over the last several years, I have become kind of just really awakened to or aware of God's natural rhythms that he kind of built into. I knew about them. I've preached about them for many, many years. I just never practiced them. And so these sabbaticals were kind of a reset, not just for us, but we hope for our church. And we really want to invite all of you in to practicing rhythms of rest and the way God created things. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. But before we kind of get to that, I just kind of want to share a little bit more about the heart behind, why all of a sudden are we, really worried about this? In the last year, we were doing common prayer, and there was just one line in there that haunted me. It said, "Lord, we do not always rush to do your will. Often we tiptoe our way into obedience, dragging old habits and mindsets with us. Help us to delight at your voice and to trust that your calling is always good news. And so I felt like, yeah, we've been tiptoeing around this thing specifically, and we want to go all in with it. And so last year was a radical shift for us to like pause, take breaks, do sabbaticals. And now we start this year off inviting you to journey with us, specifically talking about three different spiritual practices over the next 3 months. Today we're starting with Sabbath. We'll spend the next 4 weeks talking about Sabbath. And then in February, we're going to talk about fasting. In March, we're going to talk about prayer. And we're not just talking about it, we are practicing these disciplines. And this is the way it's going to look. We're going to partner with an organization called Practicing the Way. Some of you are familiar with John Mark Comer. We did a book launch event for him here a couple years ago. He has started up a new organization called Practicing the Way, and their organization is committed to creating free resources to help people and churches practice the way of Jesus more intentionally. And so we're leveraging those resources to help us walk through some of these journeys together. I just want to say that, like, as we journey through this together, when I did my sabbatical about a year ago, I had just turned 40. I just turned 41 last month. And I had decided leading into my 40s that I needed to learn how to live at a different pace. And I knew me, and I said, I'll give it my 40s. Like, I'll give it a decade. And so I just want to, I want to like invite you into a slow way forward into some changes in your life. This isn't like, I don't want you to get whiplash, from this at all, but I can say a year into intentionally, part of our sabbatical was filled with all sorts of different rhythms and trips and experiences and stuff like that. But one thing that our family really wanted to figure out was how can we Sabbath together as a family well. And I used every excuse there was to not ever do it, because I work as a firefighter, I have a non-traditional schedule, also lead a church, and it's really kind of hard to find time to rest, to stop, to break. And I used that excuse for a very, very long time. And so we committed specifically during our sabbatical to figure out how to practice these rhythms of Sabbath. And I can tell you really a full year into it that I am not an expert. Our family has struggled with actually making this a part of our life, but we're trying. And I stand here not as an expert, but I stand here as a witness that the Lord is good. And in the commands that he gives us, the things that he invites us into, they are for our good. So while it hasn't all been like perfect and pretty, it has been incredibly good. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so we desperately want you to experience that and see that for yourself this year. What that's going to look like is really what we're trying to do is, you know, this is the time of year where resolutions are already starting to like wane. You know, we're like 7 days into resolutions, right? And I think resolutions are awesome. It's important to kind of take inventory of your life, to look back over the year, to set some new goals and objectives, and that's awesome. It's great. I've done the same thing. But I really do believe that there's something more powerful than resolutions. And there's an ancient practice in the life of Christians for the last probably 1,500 years, creating something called a rule of life. Not talked about much in kind of Protestant, Western, evangelical spaces, but the rule of life was really started in kind of the 4th century, made kind of popular in the 6th century by Benedict, and it's been something that has shaped the life of Christians for the better part of the history of Christianity. And a rule of life is really aimed at this. It's you deciding for yourself a set of practices, a schedule, relational rhythms that help create space in our busy lives to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what he did. and to help us live life to the fullness of life that Jesus promised us, we believe comes. I love this quote from, I think it's Willard, but I might give the wrong guy credit. He says, grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. And I think, I don't think it was Willard, but it was somebody else. I'll figure it out. But I love that quote because so many times we love to talk about grace and think that it eliminates our need to try, to try to do any of this stuff. And so a rule of life is really us taking stock of the things that we feel like we should practice and be intentional with that would help us become like Jesus. It's been said that inner peace, it's been said that we achieve inner peace when our schedule is aligned with our values. And I wonder how many times our schedule has no semblance of the things we care about or value. And so a rule of life is simply a tool to that end. It's not a rigid, legalistic set of to-dos. It's life-giving kind of framework for your life to help you grow in freedom and joy. And so it can look simply like this. At the end of all this, and I'm kind of teeing this up, our goal for kind of 2024 is that by the end of 2024, our church community would kind of begin thinking about and kind of plotting and adding things into the order of your life that would help you be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. And so that's why we're going kind of real hard on these practices in the first part of the year. And Sabbath and fasting and prayer have traditionally been parts of a rule of life for people. And it can look however you want it to look. There's no prescribed formula, but it's adding these elements to your life in a way that are life-giving and sustainable. So it could look something simply like this, like committing daily, weekly, monthly, or annually to specific things. So daily might look like reading the scriptures or praying. It might look like having healthy technology boundaries. It might being committed to physical well-being, whether that's eating right or exercising. It might be weekly rhythms of rest, aka the Sabbath. It might be living in intentional community, finding people that you make it a point to be together with, even when you don't feel like it. We went to dinner at some friend's house last night. They didn't feel like having us over when the time came, and we didn't feel like going when the time came. And we admitted that to each other when we got together. But it was good. It was so good to be together. And it's because we scheduled it and we stuck to it. It could be monthly acts of generosity, like giving or tithing or serving. It could be annual silence and solitude day or weekend or retreat. It could look like that. So that's just kind of like a primer to what maybe my goal would be this. Next New Year's Eve, it would be really cool if by 2025, all of us were like, I have a rule of life that like I've put together that I'm going to try to live by over the next year. And so we're going to go slow with this. there's a few different levels of engagement that we're inviting you into. So one would be just come to church on Sunday, listen to the sermon, and then take the challenge and go do it the following week, and then come back and share it with somebody, be in conversation with somebody. That would be like kind of level one engagement. Level two engagement would be to join our digital kind of platform that Practicing the Way is put together. And you can do that by texting the word makers. And you can do that right now. I'm not going to judge you if you have your phone out. You could pull your phone out right now and you could text makers to 97000. And then you can reply with the number one. And that will get you into kind of the ecosystem of Practicing the Way content, where there's videos, a digital guide, and some prompts that will help you practice these things slowly for the next 4 weeks. And then the real kicker is doing that with some other people or being in conversation, whether that's your friends, your household, your family. And then the third level of engagement would be to join a community here at Makers, who is going to journey through this stuff together. You can also text Makers to 9700, select option number 2. That will show you all of our communities and the ones that are going to be specifically engaged with the practice, say PTW at the beginning of them, practicing the way. So that's a lot of like logistics, but we really want to practice this year, not just come and listen and leave, but to step into this together. So I'm going to do something this morning that we won't do the rest of these times together, but I want to kind of show and tell. I want to show and tell what the journey, what the practice looks and kind of sounds and feels like. And so this morning, we're actually going to watch the first film. This is an example of what you would experience if you opted into the digital resources. If you said yes, you signed up, put your name in the thing, it's going to prompt you weekly to watch the video, to download the guide, to have a conversation with some people around it. So I'm not trying to like get out of jail free this morning and not preach a sermon. I just want you to see what we're inviting you into. So we're going to watch the first Practicing the Way film together, not in its entirety, and I'll be back up at the end. But just know that these films are designed to be in a room of a few people doing together. So there's a few spots where it pauses and asks us some questions. This would be like in the life of a community where you would pause and you'd have a long conversation around some of these questions with each other. And then I'll be back up in a moment. Clear as mud? Let's watch together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sabbath practice. My name is John Mark.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Yinka, and we want to introduce you to an ancient practice from the way of Jesus that has become an anchor for our life with God and each other.
Every Friday night, our two families, along with a small community we call kin, gather together at our home. We sit down at the table, light a few candles, open in prayer, and enter into Sabbath.
It's usually the highlight of our week, a time of joy and gratitude and relational connection, and time in the quiet.
Over the next 4 sessions, we invite you to step out of the hurry, busyness, and overload of life in the modern world and into the peace and rest of God through the practice of Sabbath.
Sabbath is a 24-hour time period in which we stop all work and set aside a day to rest, delight, and worship.
Sabbath is not a silver bullet, but it is a practice that has transformed our life with God and with each other. When we began to Sabbath, it was a before-after kind of turning point in our formation. This can be more than a new practice for you. It can be a new beginning.
And this practice is designed to be done in community. Each session, you'll gather together for teaching and conversation, but you won't just talk about the Sabbath. You'll go out and practice the Sabbath, and then come back together for the next session and debrief your experience. Each session is interactive. It'll begin with a conversation in triads, 3 or so people that you'll journey with over the next 4 sessions. For the first session, we invite you to talk about what you're thinking and feeling as you come into your first Sabbath.
Here are a few questions for you in your triad. Number 1, what's your current understanding of the Sabbath?
Number 2, is the Sabbath a part of your life currently or not?
And number 3, what thoughts and feelings do you have going into this Sabbath practice?
Take a few minutes to discuss, and then we'll be back with a teaching.
Flip through any popular magazine and you will see all sorts of advertisements. A couple drinking coffee and reading the morning newspaper in bed, a man lounging on the couch and playing the guitar, a group of friends on the beach for a picnic. What exactly are they selling? They are selling Sabbath. The word Sabbath is Shabbat in Hebrew, and it literally means to stop or cease or be done. The marketing departments of companies the world over know that you ache for this kind of a life, but that you don't have it. And they are offering to sell it to you. The irony is, you can't buy Sabbath, and you don't need to. To Sabbath, you don't need to drop $69.99 on a new terry cloth bathrobe or sell your kidney to buy a new couch. You just need to stop. This primal human ache for a life of Sabbath, for what the spiritual writer Marva Dawn called a Sabbath spirituality, a life where we have margin to breathe and be at peace in God and live with joy together. This ache is nothing new. It goes all the way back to Jesus. One of Jesus' most famous invitations is from Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love the Pastor Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Matthew 11. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Are you tired? Has become a rhetorical question in the modern era. Of course we are, isn't everyone? Low-grade exhaustion is the new normal. Now, part of the reason for this is body-based. Up until very recently in human history, most people slept 10 to 11 hours a night. Now the average in Western nations is just around 6. Cue all the latest research from neuroscientists on the devastating effect of insufficient sleep on our mind and our body. We are diminished in our whole person because we are so tired. But it's not just our bodies that are tired, it is, in Jesus' language, our souls. Even when we go on vacation and catch up on sleep and have a little R&R, there is a psycho-spiritual exhaustion that does not go away in the modern world. As a result of things like the hurry and busyness and frenetic pace of modern life, the noise pollution of the city, the always-on 24/7 email-from-home work culture, the rising cost of living with more and more people working multiple jobs just to stay afloat, or the side hustle to pay for the mortgage, the digital age, the phone that never stops buzzing, the constant churn of alerts, the stream of 24/7 news full of outrage and fear, the polarization of politics. It's just too much for most of us to carry. It is not an easy yoke. Is it any wonder we're so tired? And this problem of chronic exhaustion isn't just an emotional problem. At its core, it is a spiritual problem. Why? Because we follow Jesus, who said the greatest commandment in all of Scripture is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he said the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. For Jesus, love is the telos of the spiritual journey. It's the end goal. It's what it's all about. Therefore, love is the metric by which we chart our progress. But the more exhausted we are, the more difficult it is for us to love or to bear any of what the New Testament calls the fruit of the Spirit. As Jesus himself said, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The hard truth is, one, it's very difficult to love God when we're tired. If love for God and obedience to God are two sides of the same coin, as Jesus seemed to teach, the more tired we are, the more prone we are to sin. Scientists tell us that a lack of rest erodes energy from our prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that exercises impulse control, or what the New Testament calls self-discipline. But secondly, too, it's hard to love people. As a general rule, tired people are not loving. most of my worst moments as a human, as a friend, as a coworker, a husband, or a father, are when I'm exhausted, stressed out, and in a hurry. I am more irritable, impatient, selfish. It's like I've devolved down Maslow's hierarchy of needs to my base survival instincts. It's just about me and what I want and what I need. I began the weekly practice of Sabbath 15 long years ago. At the time, I was church planting and working 6 or even 7 days a week straight, long hours, and I was under a ton of stress. And I noticed that year over year, I was becoming less loving, not more. And I was the pastor of the church. I was running on anger and on edge. I was worn thin. I did not have the energy to be present to my family, to my life, or even to my God. The practice of Sabbath changed the trajectory of my life. It was a before-after kind of seam moment in my spiritual journey. I will devote myself to this practice for the rest of my life because for me, without it, I simply cannot live and love even close to the way of Jesus. If you are, like Jesus said, tired and burned out on religion, like I was, you don't have to live this way. Jesus' will for your life is not for you to be chronically exhausted, sleep deprived, and living with zero margin. That's the enemy's will for your life, not Jesus. It's the enemy who is anti-Sabbath. Here's a metaphor that may be helpful. Imagine your life energy as kind of like a power bar on your phone. 100% is what Jesus called life and life to the full. 0% is dead. We usually don't rest until we're dangerously tired, down to 30 or 20 or 10%. And when we do rest, it's often not long enough or deep enough to get all the way back up to full, but just to kind of get solvent, to keep going. But what do we miss out on in that last 30%? What the New Testament calls the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and more. The best stuff all comes when we're rested. This is why rest is essential to apprenticeship to Jesus. Because if the end goal of an apprentice is to become a person of love in God, we can't do that if we are chronically exhausted. So, is there a practice from the way of Jesus to reorient us away from the exhaustion of our world and toward life to the full? Yes, it is the practice of Sabbath. The word Sabbath, or Shabbat in Hebrew, as I said, literally means to stop. But it can also mean to rest, to delight, or even to worship. Based on that, you can frame the Sabbath in 4 movements: stop, rest, delight, and worship. The plan is to cover each movement over the next 4 sessions. All we want to cover in session 1 is to stop. If you have your Bible with you, open it up to Genesis chapter 2. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work, or the word there is he Sabbathed. Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy because on it he rested, he Sabbathed from all the work of creating that he had done. Notice, God Sabbathed. I've read this passage since I was a kid, but I remember the first time it hit me. God Sabbath. You're thinking, yeah, but you know, I'm type A, I'm a high capacity person. God Sabbath. Yeah, but I have little kids at home and I'm starting a business, and God Sabbath. God, the creator, stopped, said, I'm finished. And in doing so, he built a rhythm into the fabric of creation. We work for 6 days, and then we Sabbath, we stop for 1. It comes as no surprise that every single society in the history of world civilization has been built around a 7-day week, even though it's the 1 unit of time that is not tied to the movement of the stars. The day is tied to the Earth's 24-hour rotation, the month to the moon's lunar cycle, and the year to the Earth's journey around the sun. The 7-day week is not. It's built out of God's own life rhythm. The last time a serious attempt was made to change the seven-day week was in 1793 in the French Revolution, where the government attempted a 10-day week to up productivity. The result? Productivity plummeted, and worse, there was a rash of suicides and a spread of mental illness. Our generation is reliving the French Revolution all over again, not due to a government fiat to elongate the week, but to a kind of vast conspiracy of modern life that is throwing us out of any kind of rhythm at all. The smartphone, electricity, the alarm clock, the car, so much more have created a world where we go and we go and we go and we never stop. But God created the human body and the planet itself to live in a rhythm. There is a rhythm between day and night, waking and sleeping. There is a rhythm between the noise and activity of spring and summer and the quiet and dormancy of fall and winter. There is a tidal rhythm between the land and the sea that is over all the earth. Within our own bodies, there is a rhythm of the breath as we inhale and exhale. When we lose this sense of rhythm, of pace, of back and forth, we lose a part of our humanity. You are not a machine. You are a soul. And you were not created to move 24/7. When we live without Sabbath, we go against the rhythm that God, the Creator, built into our body and into the fabric of creation itself. And as the philosopher H.H. Farmer once said, when you go against the grain of the universe, you get splinters. This is true on the negative side. When you don't Sabbath, you suffer the consequences: burnout, stress, a trashed immune system, brain fog, frayed relationships, a felt sense of distance from God. But it's also true on the positive side. When we do Sabbath, we reap the reward. More recently, a medical study was done on a large community of Christians who practice the Sabbath at a very serious level. This study found that not only are they much happier on average than the general population, but they live, wait for it, 11 years longer than the average person. One doctor pointed out that if you add up the time devoted to Sabbath over a lifespan, it's around 11 years. He theorized that for every day you Sabbath, you literally add a day back to your life. My point is, this 6-1 rhythm is built into the fabric of God's world. Just like gravity or thermodynamics, if you fight it, you will face the consequences. Which is why, later in Scripture, it's commanded by God. If your Bible is still open, turn to Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he Sabbathed, he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Sabbath isn't just a good idea. It's one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's the longest of all ten. If you were to make a pie chart, it's around 37%. In God's economy, it is just as important, or more so, than not lying or stealing or killing. And it's the only commandment that we brag about breaking. Even in the moral decay of the West, few people brag about how many lies they told that week or how many affairs they had, yet many of us brag about how many days in a row we worked or how many emails we did over the weekend or just how in demand we are. Because busyness is a sign of social status, of how high up the hierarchy we are. But this is not the economy and it's not the way of Jesus. Now, Christians have long debated whether or not the Sabbath is still a binding command on followers of Jesus. And there are good people on both sides of the conversation. But for me, asking whether we have to keep the Sabbath or not is about as helpful as asking if we have to keep the second law of thermodynamics. We can work with it or against it, but it just is. Even if the Sabbath command is no longer binding, it still stands as wisdom, as something built into the fabric of creation. Lots of things aren't commanded in Scripture, but they are essential to becoming a person of love. As the writer Wayne Mueller put it, the Sabbath is not a burdensome requirement from some law-giving deity. You ought, you better, you must. But rather a remembrance of a law that is firmly embedded in the fabric of nature. It is a reminder of how things really are and the rhythmic dance to which we unavoidably belong. Jesus famously said in Mark 2, the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. He was speaking to a generation that had the opposite problem to ours. They had hundreds of rules and regulations around the Sabbath that warped God's intent behind the day. First century Jews needed to hear the second half of that line. The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. But I would argue most 21st century Christians need to hear the first part. The Sabbath was made for people. Our problem isn't that we have too many rules for the Sabbath, it's that we don't have any at all. Long before the Sabbath is a command in Scripture, it is a gift from the Creator to you and me and all of creation, from a generous, joyful, loving, wise God with good intentions toward you, a God that Jesus called the Lord of the Sabbath. Hence the command to remember the Sabbath day. What exactly is it that we remember on the seventh day? We remember that there is a Creator God. This is our Father's world. We live in it. We breathe His oxygen. We eat His food. And this world is good. We remember there's a rhythm to creation. We remember that we don't stop when we're finished because we're never finished. We stop when the rhythm God built into our bodies says, enough, stop. We remember that we're not what we do or what we have or what other people think of us. We are who we are deeply loved by. Many people fear stopping. They fear Sabbath because they fear what emotions may come up. Who am I if I'm not producing or performing? Sabbath is a weekly act of identity formation where we remember I am God's daughter, I am God's son, and I am deeply loved. We remember that our life with God, it's not a right, it's a gift. That the world is full of evil and injustice, yes, but it's also full of goodness and beauty. We remember that we owe it to God to be grateful and joyful with Him in His world. You see, Sabbath is more than just a day. It is a way of being in the world. The practice of Sabbath is a day of rest by which we cultivate a spirit of restfulness in all of our life, a practice by which we undergo a dramatic shift from restlessness to restfulness, from a life of hurry to margin, from burnout to living at a sustainable pace, from noise to quiet, from distraction and chaos to clarity, from grasping to gratitude, from anxiety to peace, from attempting to control our life in vain to trust in God. Do you see it? But Sabbath isn't just an aspirational idea. It is a practice. It's what the psychologist James Clear calls a keystone habit, out of which so many other good habits flow. Sabbath, like all of the practices, is a means to an end. The end isn't to say, I practice Sabbath, check the box. It's not even to be well-rested or even to be happy. It's to participate in the love and life of the Trinity, to center our entire life around God, to live more deeply in Him, not just on the Sabbath, but all week long. As the biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann said, people who Sabbath live all 7 days differently. That's why the Sabbath is on day 7 and not on day 3 or 4. It's not a break in the middle of the week so we can get back to the real business of life, work. It's the apex, what the entire week is all leading up to. You do not have to live a Sabbathless life of nonstop exhaustion. You, right where you are, your stage of life, your personality, your reality, you can adopt the practice of Sabbath. And you don't have to buy it or order it online. All you have to do is stop.
Isn't that exciting and terrifying? I hope that getting a taste and kind of seeing what this journey will look like by watching the video compels you to say yes, to get involved. And so I just want to kind of end with a few invitations. What we would love for you to do is to download the Sabbath guide. Take it very seriously. We would love for our church to go all in on this, to download the guide, to just read it each week and create your own rules, like, I will watch the Sabbath video for the week before I Netflix and chill, right? It doesn't mean you can't Netflix. It just means like just 30 minutes. You know, you could be challenged for the week and be given a prompt to practice, right? So download the Sabbath guide. You can do that by texting Makers to 9700. The other step, the next layer would be watch the film. We just watched this one, so I helped you cheat, okay? You don't even have to watch this film this week. You've already watched it. And then three, so this is the challenge if you don't do any of that stuff. The challenge for this week, is to pick a time on your calendar and set it aside to stop. You can start small. It can be 2 hours. It could be 4 hours. It could be an evening. There's kind of three ways you could do this. However it works for you, remember, I work full-time as a firefighter. I work 24-hour shifts. I also lead a church. So if I can fight for time on my calendar, you can too. The Christian Sabbath, which, you know, you don't want to nerd out too much on what is the first and second of the day, it gets complicated, right? So traditionally, if you are a regular church-going person, Sunday is a great day to make your Sabbath day. You could start with worship and morning here at church, and you can leave from here, keep your phone off, you know, do whatever you want to do to make Sunday your Sabbath day. For many of us, we work in church life, and that doesn't really work for us. So the traditional Sabbath is what our church staff team has adopted. Maybe this works for you as well. Maybe you're really involved here at church as a volunteer, of which we're extremely grateful for, and maybe this isn't really a restful day for you. And then you might want to consider the traditional Sabbath, which would be sundown on Sunday to on Friday to sundown on Saturday. We try to keep that as a staff team where we don't bug each other or email or text. I had like 10 things I had to talk to Shalise about yesterday, and I wrote them down so that I could text her after the sun went down. And it's just one of those things we commit to. Or if you have a non-traditional work schedule, pick a day during the middle of the week. And like I said, this week, the invitation is to just start. It could be a meal. It could be an hour. It could be two. Just start, right? Don't let the 24-hour thing dominate you. Just full confession, even in my year of practicing, it's been very rare that we've gotten a full 24-hour. We have. It's just not weekly. But we very, very diligently try to get at least a meal in together where we do one of these things. Three of these things. Pick an opening and ending kind of ritual to mark we're doing this thing. So like candles, you could research your own stuff, like the Sabbath prayers and stuff like that. And there's some in the guide as well. Light some candles, have a meal, be intentional, and then end your time of Sabbath with reflection, with prayer, with something like that. And then during that time, try to pick one to three of these activities or anything else that feels like it's restful or Jesus-y. But here's a couple examples. Lighting some candles, blessing the children. You can Google, put your phone away, print it out so you don't have your phone on you while you're doing this. Bless the children. What's an ancient blessing for the children? Eat a meal together. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't be like, well, cooking is working, and just eat a meal. Express gratitude, sing, worship. If you start on Sundays, worship with your church, worship with your family. Walk, nap, read, especially the scriptures, spend time with God, spend time with family and friends in a kind of a celebratory or in conversation. And those are just some examples. Pick one, two, maybe three of those things. Put them on your list of things to do that you're not doing. I know, because it's like, oh, this feels like a chore. But trust me, I do genuinely believe that if you enter in, that God will do something deep in your soul. And this is something that we're all going to practice together as a church. The invitation is here. So would you please, please, please pick something to jump into and try out. If you're terrified, the perfect thing to do is join a community so you could tell everyone how afraid you are and commiserate. And maybe you've been doing this for a long time and there's some stuff here that you can go a little bit deeper with. Reminder, you know, we're not going to show the video every week. We will be preaching live and kind of sharing stories and being kind of in community even in this space, hearing some testimonies of people that have been maybe a few clicks ahead of us or just starting and how that's going. So Sundays will be really fun in the next few weeks as we do this. We're going to shift gears. I'm going to invite Drew up. He's going to lead us through communion. And as he comes up, I just want to pray. God, we thank you, Lord, so much for a new year, for a new season, God. We thank you for a very old invitation in a fresh and new way. And so, God, we just pray, Lord, that you'd stir inside of us, God, that you'd compel us. Pray that you'd inspire us by your Spirit, God, to learn how to live life to the fullest. And Jesus, we just pray, God, that through these next 4 weeks, you would teach us new habits and new rhythms, God, that help us to be with you more frequently, to become like you, and to do what you've done. Yeah, we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.